Good afternoon. How's everybody today? Yeah, that was a pretty positive response given the fact that it's raining buckets outside for South by Southwest. A very unfortunate event, however, the bright side is it makes it for a great day to be indoors talking about design process. How many of you folks are designers? Oh, great, that's way more than I expected. How many folks here work with designers? Perfect. So you are the audience for this talk. Does anybody fall outside of that realm, either of those two things? No? Absolutely great. So before we get started, I want to tell you a little bit about today's presentation and what I'm going to talk about. It's going to be the who, why, what, and how of StyleTiles. And once we get to the how, I'm going to go step by step through the process that I use to integrate StyleTiles into my process. And then once we kind of get through that, I'm going to wrap it all up and talk a little bit about the responsive design process and give you an example of a successful case study where StyleTiles have worked. So to start with the who, the reason I'm going to tell you a little bit about the who behind StyleTiles is that they were really a solution to a problem I was having as a designer. I specifically being a designer who designs very certain things. My name is Samantha Warren. I'm the design director at Phase 2 Technology. Feel free to check out our work at phase2technology.com, and you can follow me on Twitter. I work out of Alexandria, Virginia, where Phase 2 is located, but I live in San Francisco, so I'm a little bit bi-coastal in that regard. And there in the bottom of the slide, you can see my co-working partner, Grace the Cross-Eyed Cat. I work with clients, online publications, government, and community sites. These are the core three verticals that Phase 2 Technology works with. And the key piece of the equation here is that I work with clients on designing big websites that now also need to be responsive. And well, how this relates to StyleTiles is if you hone in on some key words, clients, for example, I'm not just designing in a vacuum. I have to work with other people in order to get a successful project out the door. Specifically clients, they're paying me to give them a solution. And I feel as a designer, I need to be able to communicate with them properly to get the solution that I want and the solution that they want. The next piece of that puzzle is websites. And I point this out because this isn't print design. A lot of our processes that we use, they're relics from advertising and print design processes. We haven't really done a good job as an industry defining a process that's specific to the web. And the last piece of the puzzle is the word responsive. And that really comes into play when you think about the fact that the web isn't just 960 pixels wide anymore. It's across multiple devices, multiple screen widths. It's becoming a much larger medium to design for. So why did I start using StyleTiles? I've worked at a lot of different kinds of agencies, small design agencies and big, very big agencies. And what I found, especially at a big agency, is that designers would present multiple fixed width comps to clients. Sometimes a creative director would actually have different designers go off into a room and solve design problems for a client outside of them talking to each other. And they'd even sometimes have each other compete for the best design project. And then when you showed this stuff to a client, inevitably what would happen is you'd have a client say, well, I like this icon, but I like the way that logo looks. And the button on the other comp, that's kind of cool. And it would just keep going on and mix and match, and it just had to stop. It has to stop. We as an industry cannot continue to do this. This is what I call the Franken-comp. How many of you guys have ever used the word Franken-comp? This is a word, I don't know if it's an actual word, I don't know who coined the term, but I know that a lot of designers in our industry use it to kind of describe a design composition that is assembled of components from multiple designs rather than being a holistically composed based on the goals of the given design problem. This isn't a good solution for us as designers, and it's not providing good solutions for our clients. We should be thinking about the end design problem and working towards it together. And especially with responsive design, this is not going to work as we continue to grow as an industry. Design is about problem solving. It's not about mixing and matching pieces of eye candy. If you're doing that, that's just style. We need to start really thinking about coming up with holistic solutions to the problems that our clients are facing. What I consider us doing as designers is we use a thing called design thinking. We as designers are sort of programmed a little differently. Tim Brown, actually, of IDEO, he describes design thinking as being a discipline that uses the designer sensibility and methods to match people's needs with what is technologically feasible and what a viable business strategy can convert into customer value and market opportunity. This is a very eloquently put way of saying we think about the big picture and we think about all the little details underneath. We as designers are keeping everything on our radar as we solve these problems. The thing is clients don't think like that about their designs. They have a lot of different factors that they use. And you know what? Clients don't have to think like us. They're busy doing what they do best. They're busy being entrenched in their industries and their problems that they solve on a day-to-day basis. A lot of times designers will make remarks about, oh, I can't believe my client said this, and laugh it off. But the reality of the situation is that the things that your clients say, they're actually very valuable. Clients make decisions based on all sorts of different criteria. Sometimes it's their own personal experience. Sometimes it's emotion, preference, or hearsay. How many times have you guys heard a client say, well, I showed this to my son or my husband or my husband's second cousin, and they said that, you know, it should all be above the fold. Or, green is really just the wrong color for this. This is how they're thinking. And while it's funny to us, there's some truth in what's happening here. They have the right to think this way because they aren't designers. And what I realized because of these miscommunications is that we really need a better design artifact. There's just the communication between the designer and the client is sometimes lost when you're showing them a full composition. So this is what a style tile is. Style tiles are a design deliverable consisting of fonts, colors, and interface elements that communicate the essence of a visual design brand for the web. Now, this is a deliverable really geared for facilitating a common visual language between designers, stakeholders, and team members. It's not just important that we use style tiles for a client communication tool, but also as a team. We all agree on the same thing moving forward. Providing a catalyst for iterative discussions about the client's preferences and goals. The thing is with a comp, you kind of go into doing a comp hoping down deep that this will just be the only comp and that we'll just get away with building it the way it looks right now. And how often does that happen? In my experience, it hasn't been very often. And I feel that if we kind of plan for this in advance and see design as a more iterative process in a way that some developers work, that we can start to evolve as an industry. And also establishing a common theme that all team members can work towards when creating a responsive website. How many of you guys have started building responsive websites? How many of you guys find that there's a lot of parts of the process that are just different? There's a lot of pieces that we still need to figure out as an industry when it comes to responsive design as far as communicating with each other. So to tell you a little bit about the origins of a style tile, I actually have a blog post if you want to go to it. It's at my website, badassideas.com/styletiles as a web design process tool. And you can also find these links, you'll see here at the bottom left-hand side, at the site styletile.es online. But the origins of the style tile come from a visit I paid to an interior design firm. And as I was touring the firm, the head of the firm took me into a small room that was full of paint chips and fabric swatches and tile samples. And all around the room, and in the middle, there was a table where there was actual trays. And she was telling me that they take these different swatches and tiles and they put them in these trays, and when she delivers the design for a new for a new room or a new interior, she actually brings these different trays with them so that they can make their stylistic choices outside of the design choices that they've made on a larger architectural level. And that's when I realized, why are we showing people three comps? An interior designer doesn't design three different rooms with three different styles, so why don't we have something similar? So to give you an example, here is an example of a style tile that my colleague Laura Schapa did for Bassmaster. And you can see here the possible colors, styles, different headings, treatments for copy. And here's a style tile that I actually did for a client who came to me who wasn't looking to necessarily redesign. When this client came to me, they were asking me to take their current brand and sort of tidy it up a little bit. And when I talked to them, I started to hear words out of their mouths that didn't correspond with their current brand. They were saying things that really, in my mind, related visually to different ideas altogether. So I said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and do three style tiles for you. This one, as you would see here, was actually the very similar one. This would be the equivalent of me tidying up their current brand. But then I took another step further, and I started to create a little bit different feeling based on the words they were using. They wanted it to look very editorial, have a lot more of a circulatory feel where people could share content. They wanted it to feel like a community. And so I then took it another step further, and I even gave them some different colors. I felt that just the words and the other sites that they were pointing to as inspiration really pointed them a little bit in a further direction. And they ended up going with this direction once I showed them the style tiles. We ended up completely redesigning the site. So the benefits of style tiles that I found. A lot of people talk about mood boards. And I've actually used mood boards extensively in my design process. And what I found is there's two major flaws that I find with using mood boards in the situation that I use them in. And that is when a client comes to me with an already established brand. First of all, the word mood relates very closely to the idea of brand. And many of the clients that come to me, they've already had an engagement with a branding agency where they've done mood boards. So I've actually had a client say, wait, you're going to give me a mood board? The branding company already gave me that. I need you to show me what my site's going to look like on the web. So in that regard, the word style relating to cascading style sheets actually resonates more with a client. The second thing that I've actually had issues with the mood board is that it's just too vague. Clients have a difficult time making the connection between the mood board and what their site is going to look like once they see a wireframe. There's just too many holes still in between. So what I found is that the style tile is that just right, that Goldilocks level in between a mock-up, which is too precise, you're getting too detailed, and a mood board, which is a little too vague. The other thing that's great about style tiles is that it can be done in parallel to UX discovery. At Phase 2, I work with very talented UX designers. And what we do is we actually do the UX discovery portion while we're doing the style tile portion. They're done on two separate tracks, even though I'm involved in the UX portion, and the UX designer may be also, to some degree, an advisor on the style version. But as they're happening at two different rates, you have a client sign-off process that's then iterative down two tracks, eventually meeting at the end. So you save time, money, and resources. But it also comes together in a nice way where the two parts of the process can combine. And everything sort of clicks at the end for the client. The other advantage to the style tile is that it's device width agnostic. When you're thinking about responsive design, we're getting to a point where if you start to imply a specific width, it gets very confusing for a client. Clients need to be able to make the jump from what you're showing them to what their site will actually be. And by setting expectations that there is no width or no specific layout involved in these styles, you build a foundation for a good client communication moving forward. Style tiles really serve as the cornerstone for communication around a responsive design project. And I'll show you a little bit about exactly what I mean further on in the presentation. So let's get into the how. This is where we're going to get into the really meaty part of it. I'm going to talk a little bit about each step that I go through integrating these style tiles into my process. The first step is listening. And now this may seem like a very obvious step in any design process. I've talked to a lot of designers who, right off the bat, they go into a client kickoff meeting and they show their client a deck full of possible ideas that they could provide, eye candy, and getting their client very excited. And while this is great for morale, you're really missing an opportunity to hear what your client needs in order to solve their problems. So I believe in asking questions, a lot of different questions. And these questions can come in the form of an interview done within a meeting, or they can come in the form of a survey distributed to your stakeholders before you attend the meeting and discuss the results. I find the types of questions that you ask are critical in extracting the right adjectives and the right words to form a common visual language with your client. The first set of questions are goal-oriented questions. This, asking goal-oriented questions is a very important part of making sure your client stays away from the like syndrome. Well, I do like this or I don't like that. If you ask goal-oriented questions, you can then build a hierarchy of the top three goals for the client's site that they all agree on. And then when they ask, you know, at midnight, the night before the site's gonna launch, hey, can we change this to pink? Can we change this to green? You can say to them, how does that relate to your goals? It provides a great benchmark for communicating with your client in advance. The next is exploratory questions, and these are the questions most designers are already very familiar with. Who is the audience? What are the websites of your competitors? These are very traditional questions that a website designer asks right out the bat. Some great resources for this, because there just really are a ton online. You could go to Andy Rutledge's site, or SitePoint has a great article by Jason Baird that goes through quite a few of the different exploratory questions that you can ask. Now, metaphor questions. This is really the meaty part when it comes to style tiles. I love metaphor questions. First of all, they're a great icebreaker. Once you get your client comfortable with talking about their brand in new and exciting ways, lots of adjectives begin to come out. A metaphor question is something like, if your website was a vehicle, what vehicle would it be and why? This helps to really open up the client's perceptions of things. If you think about a vehicle, for example, there are certain perceptions involved in different types of vehicles, who drives them, what their purpose is. You get very rich adjectives from the client. And I work with a lot of publications, and there's nothing more enjoyable than reading through a journalist's description of what vehicle they think their website should be. So there's actually a lot of great information on metaphor questions online. Adaptive Path has a fantastic article where they talk about the metaphor activity that they kick off in design meetings. HAL has a great article as well where they talk about metaphor questions just being used in the design process in general. And Dan Saffer specifically talks about it in relations to UX design. Degree of questions. This is where we really get into stylistic preferences. I find these helpful for getting a feel for what the site's going to be. An example of a degree of question that I ask frequently is, on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being weak and 5 being strong, how strongly do you feel the site should be illustrative, or typographic, or photographic? And if the client isn't savvy enough to understand those, I usually give them an example. A great example of an illustrative site is MailChimp, or picking a typographic site like JohnTangerine.com. These are a really good way to kind of get a sense for, do they have a preconceived idea of what the site's going to look like? Because if you think about an illustrative site like MailChimp versus a very text-heavy site like the New York Times, those are two very different styles. Getting this stuff discussed right off the bat will help open up more and more client communications. The other important part is to have a design kickoff meeting. And kickoff meetings are pretty common, but specifically for design, if you can get all of the stakeholders in a room to discuss your answers, what I've found is sometimes stakeholders will say very different things, but mean the same thing. Or maybe they're completely on a different page. By getting them in the room to discuss their answers, you're lifting the weight of those decisions being made on you. Having them discuss things out loud and getting them to agree. So you want this to be illustrative, yes. And just writing that down. The next step in the process is interpret, which I kind of also call analysis. To a degree, I see designers a bit as being a bit like counselors or therapists. You hear your client talk about their problems in all sorts of different ways, and then it's your job to sort of think to yourself, what does this mean? You start to analyze and think through all of the different possibilities for what they're saying. Identify common themes. This is an important part of this. A lot of the stakeholders may, again, say different things, but actually have very common themes that they're moving towards. So for example, this is a list of blanket adjectives that was used on a project I'm going to discuss further on in the presentation. I interviewed about 5 different people, and the words patriotic, authoritative, American, and readable / publishing, those were all used pretty consistently across all of the interviews. So I knew this was a foundation. This is the base. If I'm going to show 3 different style tiles, they all, to some degree, have to say these things. The next step is to aggregate the adjectives from the answers. What you'll find is, once you start actually going through and highlighting different adjectives or different descriptive words in the answers, you'll start to be able to sort of gather and sort and see commonalities. And this is actually where a lot of creativity takes place. There are no wrong answers here. The idea is to just get a wide range of different visuals that could be a possibility. So here's an example, again, from a client that I've worked with. And as you can see here, I mean, it can get to be fun, right? Alex Trebek, Volkswagen, Gary Sinise, Charlton Heston, these are all really rich adjectives. There's perceptions associated with these things. And what I try and always do is I try and really show similar adjectives, things that sound very much like what they already have. This could be also considered kind of conservative side, like playing it safe. And then I put together all the adjectives that really show a differentiation from what they currently have online. So a couple weeks ago, I actually went to an event apart Atlanta, and Dan Cederholm talked a lot about design patterns and how it's important to break down big ideas into simpler bits. And I feel that this is a very important part of the style tile process. Breaking down big ideas into smaller pieces helps you to really get down to the nitty-gritty of what your client is saying. I usually start with the elements and principles of design. Who here is familiar with the elements and principles of design? A few people? So I went to traditional design school where this was just really hammered into my everyday process. So I immediately start to think about, for example, the elements, which are here, line, color, shape, form, pattern, space, and texture. These are the building blocks. These are the simplest bits of a design, broken down to their smallest level. The principles are how you use those smaller pieces, those building blocks, to compose a design. So for example, if we break down the idea of a line, this line is communicating right now normal or status quo. But if you start to manipulate that line in just a few different ways, you can think, you can make it say something different, like happy or sad, aggressive or whimsical. Just by breaking down these simple pieces and beginning to take the adjectives that your client used and matching them at a small scale level to what they're talking about, you begin to make associations. Humans make subconscious assumptions based on subtle visual cues. A while back, I saw an episode on the Science Channel of The Science of Sex. Has anybody seen this? No? It was actually, it's a very misleading title, but it's actually all about how symmetry in the human face is pre-programmed into our genetic structure to be something we can aesthetically pick up on for attraction. The more symmetrical a human's face is, the more somebody perceives them as being attractive. So if you break that down and think about that in terms of design, and the fact that balance is one of the principles of design, we as humans are already genetically predisposed to recognize aesthetics within the things that we look at on a daily basis. The next step in the process is to define a visual language. This is actually making the style tile. This is where we start to take all of those little bits and compose the deliverable that we're going to give to the client. Words can mean very different things to different people. And this is really where again, it's all about getting out there and just showing your client something to get a conversation going. Newsy is a word that I actually get quite a bit in client answers when I ask them questions. And the thing is newsy can mean New York Times or it can mean USA Today. These are two very different looking sites. So it's important to try and get those different things out there so you can start a conversation. Clean. A lot of people will see Apple as being clean, but here on the other side, there's John Tan's website, which is much more matte and solid than Apple. Apple's very glossy. So which site would a client be referring to if they're saying clean? And playful. I put playful in here specifically because I had an experience while working in an agency that boiled down to the word playful. I worked at a large agency where I wasn't able to talk to the client directly. I had a creative director who relayed all the information to me. And I kept getting feedback back that the icons on the site needed to look more playful. And I would go back to the icons and I'd make them brighter and curvier and shinier. And we'd send it to the client and they'd say, oh, they're not playful enough. This went on for weeks. We burnt through budget over the word playful. And once the site was done and everything was over and I went to the launch party, I finally met the client. And she said, no, I really meant hand-drawn. And this is where playful can be Legwork Studio or it can be PBS Kids. These both have a very playful feel. If I would have had the opportunity to put these out in front of the client and gotten direction early on, I would have saved time, money, hassle, aggravation, and the client would have gotten what they wanted in the end. It doesn't need to be right, whatever you come up with on the style tile. It just needs to give you a place to start in the conversation. And that's because iteration is a major part of the process. If you match adjectives with visuals, you can start to see a pattern. So for example, patriotic, we went through the list of blanket adjectives earlier on a project. So I went through and tried to match a patriotic color scheme with conservative, friendly, and modern, the three different directions of my client's style tiles. So you can see here, this was my interpretation. It may not be correct, but it's at least three different takes on the same word. And this is how they actually apply to the style tiles, modern, friendly, and conservative. Here's another example of a tile that I've been working on for a client currently. And when you break down the different pieces of the words that they gave me, which were people-focused, soft, friendly, and happy, you can see here where I just began to experiment with how those things might communicate to the client. Friendly, I used big, chunky icons. Happy, a very bright color scheme. People-focused had very happy humans in the photos rather than other business-like photos associated with it. And soft, I included very light gradients and shadows. The next step in the process is iteration. And again, I cannot stress how important iteration is. Iterating on a style is more efficient than iterating on a comp. There's just really no way around it. If you have a style tile and the client all of a sudden wants you to try a whole new color scheme, you have much less to work with on a style tile. You just have to go through and change the styles there. But on a comp, you get into exponential amount of work just giving them an idea of what they're looking for. Here's an example of an older project I worked on, but was a really great example of this idea of iteration. I showed them these three style tiles. The one on the left was actually the most conservative, similar to what they had currently, and the one on the right was very aggressive. When I talked to them, they actually said they loved the first tile, but they wanted to push themselves a little further towards the third tile. They wanted to go a little bit in the more aggressive direction. They suggested that I keep some of the colors, the purples and the greens, from the one tile and the reds, and match them with a lot of the textures and the feelings of the first tile. So I put them together and made a style tile baby, which is what you see here. And in the end, this was exactly what they were looking for. They felt that it still was a nod to their current brand, while giving them a little bit of a kick and being a little bit more outside of the box than what they were currently at. This was the final design, which had no changes. So it's human nature to combine options. I feel that, you know, instead of ranking comping at the process, at the end of the process where you have like a full website, if you're doing this early on and you're anticipating it, you're really saving yourself aggravation and hassle in the long run. Another example here is, this is a client that is actually a sub-client or a sub-brand of a sub-brand of a sub-brand. So they were wrestling a lot which brand they should look the most like. So I did two different tiles where they're two different brands, and I ended up, when I took it to the wireframe stage, bringing them together to be a nod to both brands. They were able to make a connection between the two very clearly. So let's get a little bit into responsive design and how the style tile actually works with that. How many of you guys have read Ethan Marcotte's Responsive Design article on A List Apart? Excellent. If you haven't read it, it's an important piece, the entire puzzle. Responsive design essentially is looking to the future and designing for all widths, all devices, and making it so that there's really a separate experience with less work overall on the build side. So I actually attended Ethan's workshop at an event apart at Atlanta, and he touched on something that I found to be incredibly helpful when thinking about the style tile process, and that's having a catalog of assumptions. Now, a catalog of assumptions is essentially what you refer to build or design the site moving forward. He also talked a little bit about favoring lightweight disposable deliverables, which is exactly what a style tile is. The great thing about a style tile is that you can time box them. You can say, I'm going to spend 2 hours on this because of budget, or I can spend 4 hours on this. It's not about the fidelity of the deliverable. It's about getting stuff out there to get a conversation moving. So very lightweight and very disposable. And get out of Photoshop as early as you feel. Some designers, they're able to work in HTML and CSS, and other designers, they're paired up with a front-end developer. While I can do both, I love working with front-end developers, and I feel that with a style tile, the front-end developer that I work with has a basis. They have a foundation to work off of so that we are sharing the vision. So to give you an example of a catalog of assumptions that I've had on a current project I'm working on, as you see here, there's a style tile, a comp, and a component style guide. The style tile here was approved. It went through the entire process that you just saw. The client was on board, and this is what we decided to move forward with. Because a homepage design is almost always the most unique part of the entire process, I comped up a homepage design which had no changes at this point. And then I created a component style guide, which is essentially the design system. This is moving forward how those styles could be applied to separate elements that may not be represented beforehand. It gives me and the front-end developer a basis to move forward with so that they don't necessarily need me to comp out the 12 or so templates that they would have to in order to make this a responsive website. Design a system instead of pages. Jesenia Perez Cruz from HappyCog wrote a fantastic article about designing systems. This isn't just something that is incorporated with responsive design, but also designing for a CMS. Thinking of things in terms of separate parts, modular parts, rather than thinking of things in terms of pages, will set expectations for your clients early on and will help you to move through the responsive design process. So here's an example of a site, a project that I've moved forward with that was very successful using the style tile process. This was for the Washington Examiner. It's a local newspaper. It covers mostly, because Washington's a very political city, it includes mostly politics and local news, traffic, sports, that sort of thing, that's very specific to the Washington, D.C. area. It also has a very rich heritage. It's been around for a very long time and has this wonderful logo and brand. So here's an example of a question that I asked them. If this election site, oh, and this, by the way, while I designed the .com website, this was before the .com website. They came to us specifically to do an election sub-site for them. So it had to not only include their brand and the feeling of the Washington, D.C. area, but it needed to be up to par with the look and feel of this year's election moving forward. So if this election site were an automobile, what would it be? Please explain why in 2 to 3 sentences. So this is the type of answer I got. I got 4 stakeholders I had that during this, but what I went through and did was for each of the 4 stakeholders' responses, I went through and highlighted the different adjectives or descriptive words that they used. And then I compiled them. And this is the list of the most commonly used adjectives. To some degree, you could see earlier also the blanket adjectives. And what I did was I went into the first kickoff, the design kickoff meeting, not only with the styled tiles, but I put together what I call a brand summary. And this is basically just a summary of, hey, based on your answers, this is the direction you guys are talking about. I want to just put that out there and discuss it in case it's not what you were thinking. And in this situation, it was. By putting the adjectives that your client used into the wording that you're actually using, it creates a bit of a connection, an emotional connection for them. It's no longer just, you know, pixies and magic dust where you as a designer goes off and makes something and brings it back. They're feeling like they were part of the process. I then do an interpretation for execution, and this is just sort of where I take the brand summary and I explain how I'm going to use the elements and principles of design to bring all of this together into the site that they're looking for. So specifically, typography was a big piece of the puzzle for them, and I wanted to make sure they knew that that was something I was focusing on. Typographic hierarchy and content, specifically because this was a site that needed to be updated very frequently. So this is an example. This is the first tile that I presented to them. I called it the modern tile. It has the very bright, modern color scheme that was patriotic. It represented the words comprehensive, smart, and stimulating. The second tile was actually what I called the solid or authoritative tile. It had a brushed aluminum texture, a little bit more of a muted color scheme, and more traditional typefaces. The third tile is what I called the friendly tile. And this was large hits of color, very bright, very large slab serif typography, and a bit of a non-traditional red. So when it came time for iteration, I went to the meeting, I gave them the 3 tiles, I laid the 3 in front of them, and they said, "We love the first tile. This is exactly the way we are looking to move. However, we feel that the stars in the second tile are a great interpretation of our traditional branding, and we want to make that predominant moving forward." And the third tile, they actually really liked the slab serif typography. They felt a feeling of friendliness, but also readability involved with it. So the next tile I presented to them was this. It has a different font. It's FF Tisa. And I also adapted the stars to be a little bit more modern. I felt that just putting the stars in there in the first place as being the red stars was a little bit too expected. And what they actually said was, "We don't quite like FF Tisa. Can you revisit the typefaces? And we really want a more expected version of the stars." So that's the final tile I gave them. I used Adele through Typekit, and I put a very expected version of the stars on there. And they approved it. At the same time, the UX designer I was working with, Dave Leonard, who's incredibly talented, we were working together on a wireframe that showed very specific chunks of content. This was a site that was supposed to pull in lots of different feeds and APIs from all over the web, so it needed to have lots of little different chunks and be updated. So you can see here, this was the final approved wireframe from them. And then this was the final design that I presented to them and had absolutely no changes, which seems a little amazing. I was, of course, pretty stunned, and that's not always the case. Again, iteration is an important part of this, but I felt the style tile process really helped us, me and the client, to develop a relationship where they trusted what was happening. They felt like they were part of the process. Therefore, when it came to this stage in the game, they didn't necessarily feel as though there needed to be a lot of changes. So to sum up the entire presentation, some takeaways about style tiles, that I feel style tiles are the missing design artifact. It's the piece of the puzzle that really hasn't been there for web design for a long time. It's the Goldilocks design deliverable that's not quite a comp and not quite a mood board. They facilitate client and team communications regarding visual language. It helps just with communicating. I think communicating is such an important thing during the design process that many of us overlook. And it's the cornerstone of a successful responsive design process. I think moving forward with the future of responsive design, we have to begin to adapt. We have to use different deliverables, and if we keep trying to use the same deliverables that we always have, there will be lots of adaptations we have to make as far as budget and time, and really should be as efficient as possible. So before I wrap up, I just want to give some credits. The illustrations you see here throughout the presentation were done all by Garrett Miller. He is the you can find him at heyitsgarrett.com, and he's also the guy behind imagineawesome.com and WinDoodles. Special thanks to Dan Drinkard and Sean Mole, who also helped out with the site that, again, you can go to at styletile.es online. With that, that's it. Thank you very much. And if you can contribute anything to the lanyard.com profile, it's there at the bottom. I would appreciate that. Do we want to take some questions? Anybody? If you have a question, if you could just go up to the mic, line up at the mic. Oh, and I also have t-shirts for the first few people. They have unicorns on them, the t-shirts. If anybody is interested, so.
So I had a question. The relationship building that you talk about, the style tiles kind of helping reinforce. I'm curious to understand how you approach the conversation of separating personal preference of a client as opposed to like user needs and goals, and helping them to see those perspectives and understand what they like and the priority between that and the user goals.
There's always going to be some degree of preference. I mean, that's something I think as designers we're really never going to escape, given the fact that clients are paying for the work we're doing. So there has to be some give and take. And I think establishing that with a great project manager, I am very fortunate to work with fantastic project managers. And that's why this is really important, that it's not just the designer who's part of this process. The entire team needs to be part of the process. So setting those expectations up front, and over, I can't tell you how many times during the process, I just say goals. Like, what are your goals? Anytime the word like comes up, how does this really work into your goals? And when it comes down to when time and budget and money become a factor towards the end of a project and those preference-oriented requests come up, that's really when the goals become a great resource for you to sort of keep things in line and moving forward. Yes? Yeah.
How do you approach when you're showing a style tile to somebody in person versus, you know, somebody that you're not, somebody that's long distance that you're not able to be with?
Yes. Yeah, so generally what I will do with an in-person style tile reveal is that I'll have and here you go, here's a t-shirt. Here you go. Thanks. If you want one too, you can come up and get one. I've got a bunch. Here you go. So when I go to a client kickoff meeting, I am really sort of a must be like Boy Scout prepared type of person. I've had situations where, of course, you know, they don't have a projector or they can't look at a screen. So at the very least, I make sure I have them on my laptop to show, usually in a browser window. And then I also have printouts as a backup, a super extra backup. But if I'm going to see them in person, I also have them on an HTML page that they can click through at the top. Just a very simple, not too fancy HTML page. And that way they can all look at them on their own screens for color issues. And that's really how I hope that they look at them. So that's great for in a meeting, but it also works really well if you can't be there in person to walk them through an HTML page that you've set up to show each of the tiles. Next question?
Yeah, I just had a question about the word responsive and how you sort of interpret that and speak to it. Do you see a vast difference between like the style tile boards being a response to your client's moods and sort of metaphorical responses to your questions, and then the way those tiles shuffle and re lay themselves out, I guess, depending on what device the user may have in their hands at any given point in time.
I want to make sure I'm understanding exactly what your question's saying. So
I'm just trying to clarify, like, when you're dealing with clients, are you trying to use the style tile to
sell the responsive?
Yeah, to sell the response.
So usually, in all honesty, I'm pretty lucky in the fact that most of the clients that I work with have actually asked for responsive design.
Okay.
I haven't actually had the opportunity to sell responsive. Specifically with the Washington Examiner, that was something that they wanted to do. However, they already had an ad strategy that was sold for a long time out. And that's going to be something as an industry we have to work towards, is advertising and responsive. But generally, it's not necessarily, style tiles aren't something that I use to sell the responsive aspect. It's more to facilitate it.
The reason I ask is because at the beginning you said you work on large scale sites, and I work with the Dell GSD group, and we sort of have struggled with how to make the Dell site responsive as a whole, like one large piece. I'm sorry, and I guess you know that's sort of like a scale thing.
Yeah,
there's like millions of pages, and the thing I liked about the style boards is that they're sort of boiled down to like very modular state, and that
yes.
makes things very basic. But you get into the reality of a large scale site, and it's just not like that to a point. So,
well, and that's where the style guide components. I mean, I showed just one piece, but they could be huge. I mean, I think the danger in showing several compositions for doing a large scale site is the fact that then when the client sees those, they wonder how they are interpreted on an iPhone or an iPad. And that's what the style tile is really there to do, is to sort of divide those two things into two separate situations and not having the expectation of a page. For designing lots and lots of themes and layouts and stuff, it could be extensive, the amount of other work that you have, but not doing pages specifically, I think helps with the process.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Thank you. Do you want a shirt?
Yes, sure.
Here you go. Uh-huh. Thank you. Hi.
Hey. So my question is kind of related to the time frame.
Okay.
In my current role, there's a lot of tight timelines and almost predetermined timelines.
Yes.
So we have a lot of clients that say, well, we need a comp, and that's it. Like, we want something like that. So we've done stuff kind of like this.
Yeah.
But how do you get around that idea of, you know, we need to kind of explore this before we move to a comp? So how do you kind of convince them, like, this is a good idea, might take a little bit longer, or maybe how do you even fit into timelines?
Well, again, I'm very fortunate that I work with a very inclusive team. So it even boils down to the sales team. Our sales team talks quite a bit about style tiles at this point. It's something that is really ingrained within our entire company. So I understand that you're probably working to get all of that. So in those situations, my advice to you is to get as much information as you can. When I actually first started doing style tiles, I was on a project at a super short timeline, and I couldn't do the tiles. However, I went through the whole process, and what I had was I had them point out things, very similar other materials that they had that they felt represented. For example, I believe this client wanted things to look very expensive. So the word expensive, of course, was very nerve-wracking to me, so I told them, bring me something that looks expensive to you. And then we broke down, okay, there's a lot of white space here. This is very clean typography. You know, are those the things you're looking for? So I would say just try and get as much done as you can in a small amount of time, and just be flexible.
Very cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I'm not a designer. I'm a software engineer. And I was just wondering, like, so my process with our dev team is iterative as well. How do you collaborate with your dev team in your iterative process?
Mm-hmm. So, for example, right now I'm working very closely with a front-end developer on the project that we were just talking about. And is it constant check-ins? Do you have everything you need in order to get the site done you need today? We have twice a week stand-ups where I talk to the entire team, and I check in probably once a day with the developer. A lot of times we use Jira as a ticketing mechanism. When there are things, like I will review, he will build out some pages, I will review them, I'll take screenshots and sketch, mark up, hey, like this isn't quite you know, where we're going with this. And it's sort of a learning process. It begins to evolve. And at this point, I would say he's on the same page as me. We sort of now are completely aligned after going back and forth iterating like that.
Yeah,
if you want to go back to the microphone so people can hear.
So you're in the dev team stand-ups?
Yes. No, our entire team has stand-ups together.
Wow. Okay.
And but this is a very large-scale site. On a smaller site, there may be two stand-ups, three stand-ups a week where I only attend one. I'm in constant communication with my project manager. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. Hi. Hey. Do you want a T-shirt, by the way? You are welcome to get one. Go ahead. We have 10 minutes left, by the way, so we're going to have to wrap up soon.
Okay, I'll keep it short. I've been doing this sort of thing, the style tile type mock-ups, for a while. We've always just called them mood boards. I was wondering, where do you differentiate between mood boards and the style tiles?
So the mood board, generally, in the past I've used as being not necessarily individual components that will actually be used on the site. Vague, like this is possibly something, or this is an example of something, more collage-like. And again, it comes down to semantics, but the reason I prefer calling them style tiles is because just the word style, CSS, cascading style sheets, the client, it's a psychological subconscious thing, but they do tend to understand, okay, there's a direct connection between the website and this deliverable that I'm receiving.
Okay, cool, thanks.
Yeah, thank you, and you can get a T-shirt. Yes.
I was just wondering, do you ever use this for modeling interactivity? Like, in other words, what someone's interaction with a site, say, through JavaScript, you know, forms or whatever. Do you ever apply this technology to that, this approach to that as well?
I'm not exactly sure. Can you?
Well, I guess what I mean is, like, if you wanted to convey to a client what their what a user's interaction with your site would be.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever tried using this for that?
I have not. A lot of that really gets into the get into code as fast as possible kind of part of the project. And while there is, again, iteration, usually a lot of that happens at the get into code portion of this. I mean, we managed to get into code much faster in this process than I've ever done with any other process. So,
okay.
Thank you. And get a T-shirt if you like. Oh, is there? Let me see. I only have a medium. Okay. Yes, and the last question.
Hi. My husband and I started a web design company
Can you speak up just a bit?
Oh, yeah, sorry. My husband and I started a web design company about 10 months ago. He's the designer, and I'm sales and project management. Mm-hmm. So how early, you were saying that your sales team is on board with this, and I think this would really solve a lot of problems for us. How early, I mean, are you guys discussing these design tiles in the sales process before the kickoff meeting?
Well, we're not discussing the specifics of the tiles for them. We're discussing the process. We're going through a very similar, this is how we do things, these are examples,
okay.
Very early on. Many of the, because the company I work for, Phase 2, we're very community-oriented. We have a blog. A lot of this stuff is things that we posted online. We will direct them to a blog post, that sort of thing. So a lot of times the clients have expectations going in.
So when you're in the sales process of gaining a client, you'll say this is part of who we are, our personality, we like to incorporate you.
And it's in their advantage.
Sure,
that we're
of course
including them in the process.
Yeah.
And that we're saving them time.
Right, right. And then you can tell them that when, you know, time runs out, this will help keep everyone accountable.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Cool. Okay, awesome.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. If anybody wants to come see me afterwards, I'm happy to answer any additional questions.